Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhart. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. You are listening to, or rather, you will be listening to, a classic episode of Wargaming Recon from the vault. One of the earliest episodes from way back in the day, many, many moons ago. Even before it was known as Wargaming Recon, this is one of the earliest episodes I had ever recorded. I have to give you my apologies, because this episode was supposed to actually have been an interview with John and Diane Sutherland, to talk about why their Wargames Holiday Center in Crete is permanently closed. And unfortunately, we had some illness on both ends of our sides of the pond, and a little scheduling conflicts and all that kind of stuff. So we weren't able to make that happen in time for this episode. This, of course, was supposed to be episode 125, but we are hoping to record down the road and get that out to you at some point, maybe even in the tail end of the 2014 podcast season. Otherwise, it will appear in the 2015 podcast season. So I want to let you know that I think you will definitely enjoy this classic episode. And then the next episode to come out will be episode 126. Or actually, I guess I might have to renumber them. Episode 125, I guess it'll be. The Holiday Gift Guide 2014. Anyway, it'll be with special guest Aaron Boston. We're going to be sharing our suggestions for the holiday purchase and get buying season. So whether you need to make a purchase for the Wargamer in your life, or you are the Wargamer and you want to make life a little easier on those around you, we think that the items in our holiday gift guide for 2014 will be things that you want to either purchase for someone or suggest to those who are doing some gift exchanges in your life. And then, of course, don't forget the last two new scheduled episodes. That's really awkward, isn't it? After the gift guide, there's two more new episodes that are planned. The one after it will be the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon for Boston Children's Hospital. I will be giving an in-depth coverage of what just happened. As I record this, it is the weekend of the Extra Life Gamerthon, and I have finished my 24 hours. I don't want to spoil anything for all of you, but we did it. We met and exceeded the goal. I'll give a lot more then, but I want to give a heartfelt thanks to everyone who made donations for the word and were just supportive in any and every way. And then the final new episode for the 2014 season will be a chance to look back on what had happened. But don't worry, because after the new episodes come out, I am planning two, perhaps one, best of episodes. The first one will be on December 22nd, which is my birthday. And then the next one on January 5th, 2015. And then the 2015 podcast season begins on January 19th with a fantastic episode. So, like I said, I hope that you enjoyed this classic episode that you will be listening to in mere moments. Don't forget, as always, you want to check out the show notes for the episode. Head on over to wargamingforums.com. You get the show notes and everything, and that'll tell you how you can get in touch with me. You can leave me feedback, constructive criticism. Of course, I am on Facebook. There's Twitter. You can send an email. All the cool and usual and good ways via social media and so forth to reach out to me. So until next time, I hope you do enjoy this classic episode. And don't forget, as always, keep on gaming.
Hi, today is Friday, August the 18th, and this is the CWF Game Discussions podcast. I want to welcome everyone here today. Our continuing listeners, our new listeners, we're building our fan base up. So, know that all of us are new to this to some degree. This is our third recorded podcast. It's our second published one and our first in the line of what we call Quick Cast. And just a little thing about that. Quick Casts are podcasts that we do, but they are bare bones. We don't use music. We don't do any of the extra stuff that we do or will be doing in our regular podcasts. This enables us to more or less phone in our podcasts if we want to, or we can do it from anywhere in the world, even if we don't have access to our equipment. Today, I am recording from my room. I'm not anywhere special. It's a Friday evening. I am your host, Jonathan Reinhardt, and I am appreciative to all of those who listen to me. And I gotta say, I enjoy talking to all of you. As I had mentioned, we don't have any of our usual accoutrement for the show. We don't have our intro music, we don't have any interlude music or exit music. The reason for this show is to talk about video games. The past two recorded shows have been about miniatures gaming, such as Games Workshop products, Warhammer Fantasy and 40K, and items produced by Monk's Publishing Babylon 5 and Starship Troopers would just be some examples. Today, we are talking about video games. I am a big fan of video games. I've been playing them since since they came out, actually. I am lucky enough to have been born in the early 80s. I remember playing games on Atari and in the arcades. And they are a big, big business now. We're using as a source for today's discussion the online encyclopedia. It's Wikipedia. For those who don't know, it's wikipedia.org. We have all this information in our show notes. They have an article on there entitled "The List of Best-Selling Computer and Video Games." We're just going to be touching on some of the major systems such as Nintendo, Sega, Sony, and Microsoft. I'm going to be talking about some of the best-selling games that they mentioned, and we will be sharing our own personal favorites here. Going to just get right into it. Our hope is to have this as a very, very short podcast. We're going right into it. And now that I've mentioned our little intro and everything, I do want to remind you that you can always find us online at the World Wide Web by going to wargamingforums.com. We are also currently running a little bit of a, I guess you could call it a game, where in each episode, you, the listener, has to count how many times I say, And you then contact us. We have contact information that I'll share at the end of the show. Whoever comes closest, the first person who comes closest and contacts me will win a prize about it. I also want to thank our sponsor, Blee.biz, for making us who we are. We are out here and able to broadcast because of them. Thank you. So, as I had mentioned, the Wikipedia has this wonderful article about the list of best-selling computer and video games. The whole gaming industry is huge. Lots of money going back and forth in it. They mention a brief list of their top-selling computer games, and they mention it by genre, and then they break it down into an incomplete list. Just going to dip in, and I'm going to give some numbers, and please, you know, you can always find more information in our show notes and on, in this case, Wikipedia article. They mentioned The Sims, game put out by Will Wright from Maxis fame. The Sims, if you haven't played it, play it. It's very popular with women. It's one of those few games that crosses over from the male-dominated gaming, universe over to the realm where women will tend to play games. It sold over 16 million different games. They also mentioned StarCraft, Half-Life, Diablo 2, Tomb Raider 2, and Myst as some of the highest-selling games for the PC market. Some of the other ones that they mentioned with that aren't as high are, the Warcraft series, Half-Life, which I mentioned, Battlefield 1942, that's a personal favorite of mine, Civilization 3, I love the entire Civ series by Sid Meier, he's incredible. They also talk about the different consoles. That's what people refer to when they talk about video games. You're talking about games like gaming systems such as Atari or Nintendo, the Xbox. You're talking about PlayStation. And that is what most people tend to play. You buy the console, and then you also purchase the game separately. They mentioned for the Atari 2600, which was one of the most popular Atari systems, that Pac-Man and Space Invaders were the top two selling games. I'm not sure how many of you were old enough at the time for when Atari came out, but Pac-Man and actually Space Invaders as well, I believe, started off inside the arcade industry. You went deposited 25 cents or whatever and got to play incredible games. Those are their top two selling games for Atari. They also talk about Nintendo system. Nintendo's put out a bunch of different games. Their number one selling game, though, of all time for any system is Super Mario Brothers. And I remember playing Super Mario Brothers way back in the day on the Nintendo Entertainment Center, the NES, and it was wonderful. It's a simple game, yet it's a lot of fun. And I've noticed that usually the games that seem simple have a lot more going on within them and actually sell better. You find a lot more people playing them. You'll be able to do a lot of team games, get your buddies over and play because they played them before too. Nintendo also put out a while back, Nintendo 64 was one of the first systems with 64 bits in it. And the third highest selling game is GoldenEye, with 8.09 million sales. GoldenEye was, in my opinion, the best James Bond video game out there. It's simply incredible. It's a first-person shooter. You go around, you're James Bond, you go on these different missions, you accumulate weapons of different sorts. You can go head-to-head with a friend. There's all these hidden maps and stuff that you got as you complete different objectives for the game. And you could even be some of the main adversaries from, the movies. Actually going to just touch on one more Nintendo system, and that is it's a Game Boy system. And for this, and no surprise to me at all, the Pokemon series, Red, Blue, and Green, they gross over 31 million in sales. Back in the day, before I knew any better, I was a big Pokemon fan. Pokemon is in Japanese animation. It's actually more Americanized than Japanese, but it's technically anime, and they have a whole game out for it. In Japan, it was called Pocket Monsters. It was all the rage. The whole motto is gotta catch them all. And you got these different little monsters, they battle, and so forth. It was incredible. On the Sega side of things, which was another older system, and now they mainly do games, I'm sure we won't be surprised that Sonic the Hedgehog is their highest grossing game. And Sonic, another seemingly basic game, you run, you're a hedgehog, you collect coins, incredible. But I'm also kind of surprised that although Mortal Kombat is one of the highest selling games in that it's grossed more than a million, the Mortal Kombat series really haven't done a whole lot. And Mortal Kombat got a lot of press back in the day for being the bloodiest game out there. And if you compare that to games that people play now, such as Half-Life, for example, or Half-Life 2, they're not as bloody. And since we talked about Half-Life, I am going to just jump down. Half-Life is one of the highest grossing games of all time. I played it. I'm not a big first-person shooter kind of guy anymore. I do a lot of simulation and strategy games. Games like SimCity, the whole Age of Empires series. I like to do that sort of stuff for the PC. And for my consoles, I have most of the major consoles. I don't own an Xbox, however, but I do have a PlayStation 2. I have, the entire Nintendo suite. And I love the GTA kind of games. GTA is very graphic. That's Grand Theft Auto. For those who do not know, there's a whole series from Grand Theft Auto, which was 2D along with Grand Theft Auto 2, which is my second favorite Grand Theft Auto game, all the way up to the GTA 3, GTA Vice City, which was an 80s kind of game. GTA 3 kind of took place in a New York kind of world. Then they had another GTA that came out, San Andreas, which is, out in California. It's different in that you're black, has a lot of hip-hop music. Great game mechanics in that, but not my favorite. I'm not really into the whole hip-hop genre of music, which is actually why I liked Vice City the most for the GTA series. And that is it's the second highest selling game for PlayStation 2. Vice City grossed almost 14 million, more than San Andreas. Vice City takes place in the 80s. It was the first GTA game to have actual regular music in it, stuff that you could go buy a CD for. There's several tracks by Michael Jackson and other 80s artists, Carr and so forth. There's a whole suite of them, and it's incredible. It's the best soundtrack to a game in a long, long time. Moving on, Xbox came out a few years ago. It's by Microsoft. It was their foray into the video game console market. And no surprise there, the Halo series is number one for the Xbox. For Halo 2, it's almost 8 million in sales. And I know that's not as much as, for example, the number I quoted for GTA, but Halo is a first-person shooter. It's a game I played. I'm not in love with it, so I know that's not going to get me some fans out there. But it's a first-person shooter. It's wonderful. It has some great, great weaponry and tactics involved. It's incredible. It's a lot of fun. And best thing about it is you can go head-to-head and you just beat on your friends. You go up to a four-way, I believe, for it, and you get a little guy, and you can just go nuts, and you just shoot people and stuff. And I know it sounds really, really violent, and there's a whole movement about are video games violent and are they causing our kids to be more violent. And I personally say no. I don't believe that. I don't believe there's enough evidence for that. I think it's more a social culture in general. You can't just blame everything on video games and movies and what people see on TV. And if you were to blame it on what people see on TV, for example, look at your evening news. You see car crashes, you see dead bodies, you see a lot of grim and gore on there that you don't see anywhere else. And I can't stand behind anything that says, you know what, video games cause kids to go out and rob stores and shoot each other. When it doesn't, but you'll have people like Senator Jill Lieberman who will say, yes, it is, and they're trying to push government-regulated rating system on video games. But the video game industry is self-regulated, and they put a rating system in because they don't want kids playing games that are inappropriate for their age. They realize that as kids grow up, they mature, and they're able to play different games. They're able to understand them better, the mechanics, the usage. And they're able to differentiate that video games are not real. You play a video game, it doesn't mean you're in the real world. You're not. And that's why people play video games. They want to escape. They do a 9-to-5, go into the office or go to school and come home or whatever. They don't want to be doing the same sort of stuff. They want to get out there and fly a spaceship. They want to, you know, go shoot something. They want to drive off-road and be that NASCAR driver. Or they just want to go and jack cars in a game like GTA. So it's not valid to say that, you know, it's real life and that it is high enough of an influence to make kids or anyone do all these other things that they do. I notice that now we're passing the 13 and a half minute mark, and I rambled on long enough about video games. I ask that if you have a favorite video game, and if we did not mention it, please let us know. We will definitely mention some of those that you mentioned to us. I also want to say that my favorite video game of all time is an oldie. It was not mentioned in this podcast previously. It is Pong, and it's a seemingly simple game of table tennis, but it is incredible. So give us a shout out with your favorite video or computer games, and we'll be sure to mention some of those in an upcoming podcast. Who knows, maybe it'll be able to be an entire podcast of its own. I want to thank you for listening today, and I also want to say that this is the shortest podcast that we have done so far. It's nearing 15 minutes, and I want to let you know that this Sunday, the 20th, I believe, will be another podcast will be sent out. It is our second recorded podcast, but our third podcast overall for publishing. It tackles the issues of Mongoose Publishing and Forge World. So please stay tuned for that. As always, you can contact me via email or instant messenger. Both of these are listed in our show notes. My email is jreinhart@gmail.com. And you can contact me on AOL Instant Messenger or AIM. The name is CW Forums. As always, you can find us on the World Wide Web at wargamingforums.com. And just want to once again thank you and say that I hope we get some good feedback about our QuickCast. Please give us your feedback. Let us know how we're doing. There's no way for me to know how these podcasts are received unless we hear from you. So that's about it. And I hope you have a great night. Go out, party, have fun. But remember, be safe. Thanks. See you next time. Bye. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly, new episodes coming at you every Thursday, talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com.